make a minute.
Wait, he was there, though, that did that make
sense? Oh, he already was.
No, I'm talking about the gentleman that you were referring to in class.
Because he wasn't actively living a homosexual lifestyle. He just had that tendency, and every so often he'd give into it. Like a Christian who every now and then will smoke a cigarette, but knows he shouldn't, but, you know, he has to have one, so kind of that kind of a thing. So it's totally different when a person's openly living in sin. That's going to really hinder him. Talking about this person, there's a difference between a person openly living in sin and a person that doesn't want to, but every now and then does. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between somebody living in a homosexual lifestyle, which I believe intuitively they'll know they need to give that up to get saved. They will. That'll be the point of confrontation right there. And I think they should be told. And then another person who hates it, but every now and then he falls into it because of various problems in his life. There's a difference there. That person, he's not living as a homosexual. He may go a couple months and in that couple months interim get saved. It's not on him. He doesn't feel it that month, and so he gets saved. Well, after he gets saved, there it comes back again. Well, he's going to take a stand against it. What if he doesn't take a stand against it? Well, then he's in a conflict and he's going to be in real torment. There's nothing more tormenting than a Christian who's bound. Nothing more tormenting than a bound Christian. A Christian who's living in the world or bound by the world, bound by things of sin, that is torment. You see, if he's a Christian, he can't have peace because that's still there. At least a person in the world can have peace because he doesn't have the conviction of the Holy Ghost on him. He can go out and sin and he enjoys it. Sinner, a Christian can't enjoy sin. The Lord won't let him. And they're bothered. They're trying to get free but can't. Well, this person came in in the afternoon one day, and we prayed for one solid hour of intense prayer. I felt a tremendous anointing praying for him. Nothing happened other than we just prayed. And tears were coming down his cheeks, and he was begging God to be delivered. And we rebuked him, but we didn't get anywhere. Other than we made progress, but we didn't get any big, mighty results. So he couldn't come back for 4 days. And so then we had an appointment. Next time he came back was in the evening. And I was busy that night, so I didn't even see him come in. He came in, told someone Failer was there. Failer got somebody praying for him. And within 10 minutes, they had that thing manifesting. And then when it started manifesting, then we knew we had something going. So then we sent a team over there to pray with him. And in about another 20 to 30 minutes, it was gone. And he lay on the floor for 2 hours without moving. Just lay like a dead man. Oh, I think he was going like this to the Lord. Oh, he had his hands up. That's right. I timed him. I kept a diary of a lot of things that happened. That's right. I timed him, and he had his hands in the air for 2 hours. Now, you try that. This is after he got delivered. Then, at about 10:30, he got up, and he started preaching. And he preached for about 25 minutes. There weren't that many people left. He was preaching faith. The man, the other day when I prayed with him, he was miserable. He was in torment. It was a struggle, and we were praying, but he was crying out to God. I mean, he didn't know if he could get delivered. He is a hopeless case. I mean, he really was. When he was delivered, he was preaching faith. He was excited. He was on fire. He was motivated. I never saw anything more dramatic than that. That was dramatic. I mean, it was dramatic. And I went home and dreamt about it all night. I had experiences with the Lord. God taught me something. But I learned something else concerning that, and that is that the Lord is trying to fill people to get them to a certain point. He's not requiring them to get there before he fills them. He wants to fill us and get us there. The being filled with the Spirit is what is to give us power to walk in the Spirit. God is filling those that are hungry. Now, if it's a Christian living in sin, what if this person is a Christian and he's living in adultery? Well, why is he living in adultery, my friend? Let's talk about it. I mean, if you know, you're working with the person. and you know this, you should talk to him. And I don't mean in a condemning way, but in an uplifting way, encourage him. Say, you know, I'll be glad to pray with you about that. If you want to take a stand again, if you're willing to make the commitment. I know a person right now that is not in our church. They've not been put out, though, because they're not coming. Can't put someone out that isn't coming. But this person, every time I see him, they're living in adultery right now. And have been for a couple of years. Every time I see him, I say, when are you going to come back to the chapel? I'm praying for you. Come back to the chapel. They're open, excited. I mean, the person has no barriers between them. Most people, when you say that, they'd hem and they'd haw and they'd quibble in the closet. This person, none of that. Person just says, I know you're right. I know. I'm hearing you talking and all that, but they're just not willing to break it off. But it's like they know exactly what I'm talking about. I wouldn't be surprised if the person could still speak in tongues. I really wouldn't. Even after all these years, but there's so much prayer been up for this one person. And the person still comes to our church, doesn't attend, but, you know, comes here for a particular thing, and I see him fairly often, always trying to, you know, get the commitment out of him. And I'm not just praying for him. I'm saying, when are you coming back? You know, would you like me to have so-and-so get together with you for lunch? And maybe pray with you and make a commitment to break out of this thing. You know, is there anything we can do to, you know, speed up this thing? Or we just, you know, and if they just sit there forever, you know, it'll just go on forever. One of these days, they might be against us. You know, they might be bitter against us or turn against us. You know, people do that. They hang in this thing for a long time. Pretty soon, they're not open anymore. This person has been open ever, you know, all this time. But it's only the grace of God. Go ahead.
Are they going to church?
They're not doing anything because they know too much to know that they can't play games with God. Person has an understanding of God, is not at all confused, knows exactly where they stand, knows one they need to do one thing and they'd be jumping for this church. They know they're coming back to this church after they do that one thing to break up that relationship. They just can't do it right now. Well, God judges those on its own merits. God will judge that. There's a lot of Christians that are going to be real surprised at the judgment day to find out what's going on. Honestly, some of these people aren't just going to make it into the kingdom. You know, there are a lot of people going to church that aren't going to make it in the kingdom. And I suspect there are a lot of people that think they're going to make it in but are living in sin. And the Lord is going to say, no, you're living in sin. You know, we're... And he's going to have to make his choice. All I can say is that God doesn't always require a person to make the commitment today. You know, there are other forces at work. In other words, we sitting in this room probably have points of unwillingness that are going to surface one of these days. And the Lord's going to put his finger on it. And when the Lord puts his finger on it, and you don't give it to him, you go downhill. You go around Mount Moriah. You go down the whale's belly. And the Lord will put his finger on this with this guy, and there'll come a day where, you know, he'll either give it up or he'll be all done. He'll get drier and drier and drier and drier until he can hardly even understand that he's a Christian, and pretty soon he won't know if he is, and pretty soon he won't want to be. And, you know, I mean, that kind of, it just sets a certain thing in motion, and death is what's setting in. And he'll die is what will happen. Actually, God can give grace to people in these situations and continue. Even they can still feel his presence and other things, but he's just working with them. You know? And perhaps as that person continues on with God for a while and gains strength in your prayers and other things, the day may come where he's going to just walk right away from that situation. So it's hard to know. But God doesn't always deal. God deals with people on what He's trying to accomplish in them. God's looking beyond where we are right now to what He's doing. And we can't always see what He's doing. So I'm just saying, I'm not suggesting that we pray with people for the Holy Spirit that are in all kinds of messed up lives. I say, talk to them about that and get commitment out of them. In fact, if they're really willing to pray for the Holy Spirit, it almost goes without saying they're willing to make a commitment to God in this thing. And while I'm not going to make all kinds of arbitrary things, for some people, you know, they need to be called on the carpet and really face up to some things. Now, a person needs some scriptural truth. He needs to be able to know it's of God. He needs enough scriptural truth to have faith. This doesn't mean he needs to take Holy Spirit One class. But just a little bit so that he can have faith. He can know it's biblical, feel confident, and know it's of God, and know that what you're telling him is out of the Bible. That is important. I always mention tongues. I just read the scripture. I let the scripture mention tongues. And if there's any question on that, I tell them what it is. Now, some people are afraid to mention tongues because they don't want to program them. Don't worry. The devil has programmed them plenty. They need all the truth they can get. The average person is programmed against tongues. It's doubtful that you're going to do any programming. You need the truth to set them free. Now, don't bring up any arguments against it. Or don't tell them that a lot of people disagree with this, or the church world's all confused, or... See, there's no point in bringing any of that up. That's just going to weaken whatever faith they do have. It's never wise to be bringing up stuff like that. Because all that is wrong. All that is false. If you're trying to sell somebody a car, and the car is missing a tire, I think you should tell them. I don't think you should sell them faulty goods. But if somebody says they're missing a tire and it's not true, I'm not going to bring that up. Some people think this car is missing a tire, but they're wrong. It isn't. Can you see? I mean, it isn't. Why bring up false things that aren't true? In other words, I'm not going to bring up lies about the Holy Spirit, that the person can hear some lies, some wrong theology. Now, if there were actually some defects in the Holy Spirit, then I'd bring them up. But there aren't any. See, there aren't any. I might bring up the commitment God wants them to make, though. It's not a defect. That's just telling them to count the cost. Bring the Holy Spirit with the same conviction and authority as you would bring salvation to a sinner. When you're talking to a sinner, you don't tell them, well, now there's a lot of religions in the world, and the Bible says you must be born again. Of course, a lot of people don't believe that, but I do. And see, you're not going to be doing that. You're going to tell them dogmatically they must be born again. And not only that, you say, would you like to be born again right now? Would you like to pray about this? Would you like to give your life to Jesus Christ right now? This is where a lot of people don't get results, is they don't ask them for commitment. They just share about it, and then they just kind of walk away. They don't ask them. You share about it, and then you say, would you like to give your life to Jesus Christ right now? Or would you? Or if they say, well, not right now, well, would you like to come over to my house? Or would you like me to get together? Or are you going to do it at home? In other words, try to get a commitment. Try to bring the thing to a commitment. Try to get them to make a commitment. Bring the Holy Spirit with the same authority and conviction as you... Is it the truth or not? If it's the truth, then don't bring it as though it weren't. Don't sound as though you doubt it. I don't care how many false doctrines there are on it. It's the truth. And I believe it, and I bring it that way. And I believe that Jesus is the Christ as the absolute dogmatic truth. Now, occasionally, people need their hunger increased. They need their hunger increased. the person wants the Holy Spirit, but not really that bad. I mean, well, if God wants me to have it, I guess I'll accept it. You know, some people will get filled on that enough, on that alone. But it helps if they're really hungry. See, if they're hungering, the more they want it, the more willing they are to not let inhibitions and things like that hold them back. You know why a lot of people can't receive? Because they're too inhibited to speak in tongues. It's as simple as that. They're too inhibited. They're shy, timid. They're bound. They're very self-conscious. Very self-conscious. But a person that's really hungry and desperate, you know, if he's out in the middle of the ocean hanging onto a life raft, he's not inhibited. He's not inhibited at all. I mean, the guy is not inhibited. He's not self-conscious at all. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's how much hunger they need to get filled. But it helps to have some real determination, real hunger. It's going to get them beyond all that self-consciousness. And so things that I do to help build the hunger is to show them what a blessing it is. And so scriptural truths like Acts 1:4, it's the promise of the Father. It's the promise of the Father, Acts 1:4. It's the gift of God, Acts 2:38. It's the gift of God. Jesus commanded us to receive it, Acts 1:5. Jesus commanded us to receive it. He wants us to tarry in Jerusalem. Rivers of living water, John 7. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. What's that? John 14:26? John 15:26? You know. You should know. I can't remember. But that the Holy Spirit is given to guide us into all truth. These are promises. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Power to be His witnesses. In other words, things that are showing the benefit of the Holy Spirit, that what God is going to do through this thing in their life, this will cause them to really want it. They really want it. And to be able to speak in tongues. Some people, that's an interesting point. Some people are scared to death of tongues. Other people think it's really neat. I mean, they really want to speak in tongues. I mean, that's a neat thing. Whatever. I think it is. Enable us to pray in the Spirit. And so they want it. They can see something specific. This is what the Holy Spirit's going to mean to me. It's going to mean a difference in my life. I need a difference in my life. I need it. So they'll pray for it. They'll hunger for it. Now, of course, the hunger will often build the more they pray. The first time they pray, well, they might not be that hungry. It helps if they are. About the 10th time they pray, I mean, they can really be hungry. I mean, they can be seeking it and studying it and praying about it, and they're getting more hungry. Their hunger is going to increase until it passes the point of self-consciousness to where they're not so timid and they're going to just launch right out and receive it. That's usually what happens. Now, some people are extremely shy to the point of you have to pull it out of them a little bit and help them, but we'll talk about that. But it's important to build hunger. It's not a requirement, but it is a great help. Great help. Asking, the scriptural truth on asking, Luke 11, that can be a benefit. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. I'm not saying we need to ask for 10 years. I'm just saying that we're going to ask until we receive. In Luke 11. Now, some further instructions may be necessary. May be necessary. Some people are confused as to exactly what are we praying. Lord, fill me. 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 Am I filled? No. Lord, fill me. In other words, it's more than that. You say, just ask, 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 ask. There's a lot more to that. What we're doing here is we're seeking more of God. That's what we're doing. Now, some people are seeking to speak in tongues. Well, they might get filled doing that. But it's better to seek the Lord with your whole heart and let the tongues just come rather than just seeking that one thing. Rather than just seek tongues, you should be seeking the Lord. We're seeking the Holy Spirit. Tongues is just the sign. It's the Holy Spirit that we want. And so they're seeking more of God, and they're emptying out their life to Him. They want more of Him. They want less of themselves. See, this is the type of prayer that brings good results. It helps some people to know that God wants to give it to them more than they want to receive it. Some people are into begging. Beg for the Holy Spirit. Well, perhaps if they knew that God wants to give it more than they want to receive it, they'll recognize it's not getting God to give it to me. It's not getting God to give it. Oh, Lord, give it. Oh, Lord, give it. Oh, Lord, give it. God would probably say, my son, I already have given it. You receive it. You receive it. In other words, they need to know that they need to receive it. They need to receive it. God has made it available. He is not stingy. It's not how long we beg Him. It's when we get to a place where we can just receive it. That's what's really happening. We don't have to coerce God into giving it. He wants to give it. What we need to do is yield to the Lord. We need to empty ourselves out. We need to receive more of Him. Matthew 5:5 says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Matthew 5:5. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. They'll be filled with what? Filled with righteousness. They'll be filled with righteousness. Which means they're going to be filled with God. That's what's going to happen. Now, in praying for the Holy Spirit, it's helpful to take them to as deep a dedication as you can get out of them. This is a time of dedication. This is a time of real serious seeking before God. This person may be praying in a way that he's never prayed in his whole life. And so some people only have their eye on the fact if they get filled or not. I don't only look at that. Now, I want them to get filled, but that's not the only thing I'm looking at. I'm looking at what can God do in their life during this time. If we pray for 30 minutes and we don't get filled, it's not a total failure at all. It may be very productive. It may be one of the most productive things that's ever happened to them. It may be the first time in their whole life they've ever gotten really serious with God, never really asked Him for anything. There are a lot of people that are Christians that, honestly, they don't even know what the Christian is or what they're even doing. And now they're getting specific. Now they're seeking God. Now they're doing something. I mean, they're about ready to get something. And this time of seeking is important. So I'm looking at more than, let's see how fast we can get it. Well, I don't want to wait, longer than we have to. But I recognize that the prayer of dedication, the prayer of pouring out their life, the prayer of commitment to the Lord, that's a groundwork. That's a help. It'll mean more to them if they can do that. Now, people vary on how much commitment they're going to make. So you'll just have to allow whatever you can to take place. And as you're praying, Lord, I pour out my heart unto You. Lord, I'm seeking You with everything. Lord, I'm giving You my whole life, committing all to You. Now, they may not be able to pray fully that way, but they're going to be agreeing with you. You're praying. You pray the prayer that they should be praying in English for them. They don't know how to pray. I mean, Lord, give it to me. Lord, give it to me. Lord, give it to me. See, you got to help them. You pray in English. Pray what they should be praying. Now, there's a point here, and so it's more than just how fast they can get filled. I don't just sit them down in a chair, on your mark, get set, go, boom. I mean, it's God wants to do something in their life. He wants to fill them, but it's more to it than that. Well, now I'm filled. So what? There's more to it than that. Let's go on and live it now. There's a lot of follow-up after they get filled. Now, some people make the mistake, and I've seen this. They're not sensitive to the person. Here's how not to pray for someone. Put your hand on them. La, 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 la. That's how not to do it. That's how not to do it. I've watched people pray for people with the Holy Spirit, looking off in another direction, talking in tongues. You know what this person was doing? Sitting there with his arms crossed, looking, with his eyes open. No way he's going to get it. I mean, no way. I watched one night. I'm sitting in the front pew talking to somebody. It was probably midnight or whatever. They were up praying for this poor fellow at the altar. And I said to the person next to me, I said, see that person over there they're praying for? He doesn't even know what he's doing. It was obvious. He was looking around while they were all praying up a storm. One person was singing in the spirit, you know, Lord, fill him. You see, the person did not have any specific direction on what to do. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to pray. He didn't know how to get it. He had already tried to get it, and he was all done. He had done whatever he could do, and he didn't get it. And he didn't know what else to pray, and they were praying, and he couldn't relate to what they were doing. So he just opened his eyes and was waiting for them to quit. And that's you know. See, we got to be sensitive. I almost always pray with my eyes open when I'm praying for a person. See, I look at what they're doing. Are they praying? What do they need? See, got to be sensitive to them. Especially if there's a group there. We all know what it's like to have a group shout in tongues around you. For a person just coming in, that may be enough to scare them right out of the church. They're not used to that. Now, it depends on who it is. A person's been seeking the Holy Spirit for a long time. They're probably not going to be intimidated by anything. Now, the reason you need to be sensitive is that you need to recognize when they need help. When they have lost the direction, when they're confused. A lot of people get confused. Or you can sense that they're all bound up. You know, they're, you know, give it to me, Lord. Yeah, they're not going to get it when they're all tensed up, you know. The muscles in their body, you can see the muscles, you know, all over them. Their knuckles are white, teeth clenched. See, they're not going to get it that way. So you need to see what they need is, and you say, Lord, we're just receiving it by faith. We're just relaxing. We're just trusting you to fill us. Lord, we can't earn it. We can't strive and get it. We're just going to have to receive it. We just relax, and you can be praying what they need. See, you need to see what they need. A lot of people, you tell them what to do, and then you pray, and after 3 minutes, they did it. You told them to pray for it, and they did in 3 minutes. Now what? Well, that's a good question. You need to answer it. You need to know that in 3 minutes or 5 minutes, they've done everything they know to do, and they're at the end of it, and I mean, they didn't get it. Now what do I do? Well, if you go on and pray for 30 minutes, the last 25 minutes of it, this person's lost. You know what to do. So you got to be right on top of it. You got to be really sensitive. You need to watch them. Now, I'm not saying you can't close your eyes, but you need to watch them. You need to observe their situation so that you know when they need something. And I went over to this person and I said, I stopped everybody from praying. And I said, sir, do you know what you're doing? And he said, no. And I said, well, here's what you should be doing. Here's what these people should tell you to do. You know, and you should... And I wasn't trying to embarrass anybody. They were glad I stopped him because they're just spinning their wheels and they didn't know what to do. And what you need to do is... I've even been praying with people myself. And after maybe 5 or 10 minutes, I said, do you know what you're doing? Almost invariably, they'll say no. Almost invariably. And I mean, in other words, I have to give them specific instructions just to back it. It's like guiding somebody in on instruments who's thing doesn't work. You know, I mean, you're calling them in and you can see them, but they can't see you, and you're calling them into the runway. I mean, that's about the way it is. I mean, you have to just guide them right in. And the negative emotion, fears, confusion that a person can go through seeking the Holy Spirit. Confusion. Doubts. You know, they're willing to pray for it. In 5 minutes, they haven't got it. Doubts just come in like, oh, I'm not going to get it. That's, you know, and I don't know that came in, but it's common. That's about the time that you start praying in faith. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Lord, we know we're going to get it. Lord, it's your promise. You've promised it. You're pouring out the Spirit on all flesh. Everyone can receive it. The promise is unto you and to all that the Lord shall call. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, you can be praying these scriptural truths, and it's whatever the need is. And sometimes you need to ask them, well, how are you doing? Well, that's a kind of a general question. They usually don't know how to answer it and say, Do you know what to do at this point? And they'll say no. Almost always they'll say no. Almost always they don't know what to do. See, and how do they know what to do? I mean, you're the one that's supposed to know what you're doing. And so, say, well, here's what we need to do. Now, I'm going to pray again. And I want you to do is, I want you just to center your mind on the Lord. Just center your mind. And a lot of times, their mind is on people around them. What are these people thinking of me? Praying real low. You know, real self-conscious. It's helpful if they'll pray out loud. You know that's helpful? If they're going to speak in tongues, it's helpful to pray out loud. You know how hard it is to pray out loud if you're losing? Pray with me. And as you begin praying, and I just want you to focus in on the Lord. Don't worry about any doubts. Don't worry about, anything around you. You want this. You really want it. This is going to make a difference in your life. You need this. You need to experience this. You really want it. See, don't ask them if they want it. Tell them they want it. You want it. Listen, if they're praying for it, they want it. I mean, it's like people, do you love the Lord? Brother, if they're coming to community chapel, don't ask them that. That's what the devil's been asking them for 20 years. Tell them they do love the Lord. Not only is the devil asking them if they do love the Lord, he's saying, see, I told you so, you don't. The devil's always telling them. We need to tell them they do. And the Lord loves them. I mean, I believe in telling the truth. This is the truth. And so, as you're praying, then say, and just give the Lord your whole life and just let him fill you. Well, how do they do that? How do I do that? Well, I'll tell you how to let him fill you. You just pray with me. And so we're praying along, and right now, Lord, we're receiving the Holy Spirit. Right now, by faith, we're receiving it right now. I'm not waiting for God to come a bolt out of heaven. I'm going to receive it right now. I think it's within our hands to receive. I don't think I have to wait for God to give it. Now, there are times when you do have to wait for God to give it. I know that. There are times when you just pray, and for some reason, you just can't quite seem to do it. The person, for one reason or another, can't receive it. But I'm not worried about that. I'm not waiting for God to come. I know God's already come. See, I already know He is there. I know this in my whole Christian life, by the way. I'm not waiting for God to do something. I already know He's already here to do plenty. Every time I kneel and pray, I already know that He's going to come and do something mighty. And I'm believing for it, and I'm expecting it. And I found that's the key to getting results with God. I found that God always wants to do something. He always wants to move. Finney found that he could get revival to start anytime. Just like that. It's like the cartoon. The reverend says, he's got his collar on, he says, God knows when we need a revival. Don't try to start one yourself. Devil stands right next to him and says, amen, preacher. That's what I say. Don't try to start it yourself. It'll never start. There'll never be a revival. Revival starts when men start it. Revival starts when men get hungry. Revival starts when men get desperate and become and cry out for God, and God comes. He could come anytime. All we have to do is open up. God is going to, in His grace, send a great revival just because of the end of the age we're living in. But God will send revival anytime we'll get serious with Him and open up. If you'll seek me with your whole heart, I will be found of you. That is true. And all we have to do is seek Him. I have found that God wants to do what He says in His Word, and I used to wait for Him. I know I don't have to wait for Him anymore. I know that He is anxious to do as much as I'll let Him do, as much as I'll do by receive by faith. God's anxious to do that. Well, Lord wants to reveal Himself to me. I wonder when He will. I know He wants to reveal Himself to you, and I'm going to put myself in a place for Him to reveal Himself to me. He's not going to reveal Himself to me when I'm busy. He's going to reveal Himself to me when I take time to wait on Him. I've got to give Him opportunity. God wants to move in our life, but He can't get a word in edgewise in a lot of cases. But if you believe God wants to move in your life, and you know that, you make the time. All of a sudden, prayer meetings are different. All of a sudden, prayer meetings are no longer this grind out, in tongues, kneel on the bench business. All of a sudden, God is moving. It's just all our attitude. It's an attitude of faith. It's an attitude of striving versus an attitude of faith and just knowing that God is there. And once you find that out, it's just like speaking in tongues. You know you can do it anytime. You can speak in tongues anytime. Why? Because you know you can. And it's the same with feeling the presence of God and having Him move in your life. He will all the time because you know He wants to. A lot of the reason that God isn't moving as much as He is because the devil's got us totally buffaloed into thinking that, well, it isn't now, or well, we'll have to wait, or well, it's harder than it is. The devil's got us thinking that way, but it's not. And I've proved it otherwise in my own life, and I used to think that way, and I know exactly the way I used to think, and the Lord has got me out of that by His grace to think another way. And that's when things start happening. That's when things really start happening. It's when I got a different perspective on the way things were. And I'm not going back to the old way. So when I pray with a person, I just pray, Lord, I know You want to fill him. I know God wants to fill him. What am I talking to? You know, that's obvious. He wants to save him. He wants to fill him too. Lord, right now we receive it. Right now by faith we just speak in tongues, and I just start speaking in tongues. I expect them to. I just expect them to. So they don't. So they don't. Well, after about 20, 30 seconds, a minute, I'll come back to it again. Say, Lord, I know You want to fill them. And I'll say, here's what I want You to do. I want You just to receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, how do I do that? I just want You just to speak in tongues. When I speak in tongues, You just speak in tongues. God's here to fill you, just speak in tongues. And get out on the water. Get out on the water and just do it. It works. I'm telling you, it works. I've done this with some people that couldn't receive it after years, and it worked. They got it. They got it because we moved out on the water. We stopped waiting for God to come and smite them. These are people that were really bound, by the way. And most people receive it. I don't corner a person like this. You have to understand this. If this is the first time a person's ever prayed for it, he may be unable to really speak in tongues that night. He may be unable to really open up. He may be unable to do that. And I'm not going to pressure him to death and just say, now I want you to speak in tongues, and your mark gets set, go. I'm not going to do that. But the more we've prayed for it, the more I am going to push and insist that, brother, you need to get out in the water. If they don't get filled the first night, or even the second or third, that's not a crisis. That's not a crisis. I'm not worried. I'm not. See, as long as we'll keep praying, I am not worried about it. I know they'll get filled. It's not a problem. However, if we've been praying for the Holy Spirit for several months and we haven't gotten filled, in the day we live in, when God gives it easy, this person's been praying several months, then I am going to push them. I'm going to push them out on the water. They need to be pushed out on the water. They're holding back. I know that God's trying to fill them. I do not believe it's God's will that somebody pray for a couple months with the Holy Spirit. Not today. It may have been that way back in early Pentecost. Not today. And if they're not getting it in a couple months of seeking, and I don't mean they've sought it one time every 2 months. That doesn't count. But I mean after the person's really been praying for it and they just can't get it. They've come to the place where they can't get it. That's when I'm going to come in and try to encourage them out on the water, because I know that God wants to fill them, and I know there's a problem, and it's not God. It's them. The problem is them. And I'm going to push them. And I mean, in an encouraging way, I'm going to tell them, you know what you need to do, brother? You need to speak in tongues by faith. Huh? Yes. I don't know if I can do that. You can. The Spirit's going to give you the utterance, my friend. I said faith. By faith, the Spirit's going to give you the utterance. I want you, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in having them go, ma, 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 ma. No, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in having them copy me. I don't believe in having them go, ga, ga, goo, goo, ga, ga, goo, goo, or say, da, 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 you know, baby talk. There's people that teach that. Let's just talk baby talk, and then that'll be it. No, that isn't it. That's just ga, ga, goo, goo. The reason that works is because if the person will gag-gag-goo-goo for just a second, he'll get out of English and he'll be break into tongues. It's just a transition point is all it really is. In other words, they get willing to not speak English. Did you know that as long as the person is speaking English, he can't speak in tongues? He can't speak in tongues until as long as he's speaking English. Now, sometimes he doesn't know when he stops speaking English and starts speaking in tongues. God fills him at that point. He doesn't know that. He didn't consciously observe the fact that he was now speaking in tongues. He just, all of a sudden, he is. Didn't even notice it. Or he notices it, you know, just right then. He notices it, but he didn't consciously speak in tongues. Just like all of a sudden, he just was. And that is wonderful, and many people receive it that way. A few other people, though, need to really be told, brother, I want you to speak in tongues. That's what it says in Acts 2:4. It says they spoke in tongues. Well, what if I can't do it? You mean, what if the Holy Spirit lets you down and doesn't give you the utterance? Is that what you're saying? What if God doesn't want to fill you? I know He does. Now, I don't do this the first night with a person. I'm talking about people that are struggling and can't receive it. And I had a particular person who's in my evening Bible college class. This is years ago. He'd been praying for the Holy Spirit for 4 years, and he hadn't got it. And I found out about it, and so I asked him if he wanted to pray for it. And he said yes. I said, all right, let's pray for it after class. Went into the chapel, and I already knew what the scene was going to be. As soon as we start praying for it, we kneel down in the pew, and we're like this. That's the reason he wasn't getting it. His whole mental approach was an inward thing, real self-conscious, real trouble in getting it. You can't get it in that framework. So you just can't get it. So I said, all right, let's sit up. We're going to get it sitting up in the pew. Not going to get it with our nose in the crack of the pew. And it was dark in there, and nobody was in there but us. I mean dark, not pitch dark. But in other words, he wasn't going to do it in front of an audience, so it was a little easier for the guy. And I said, here's why you're not getting Spirit-filled. God wants to fill you, but you're too shy to speak in tongues. And I believe that you could have spoken in tongues a long time ago, but it's like in your own mind, if you would start speaking in tongues, immediately you would get real self-conscious and quit. And even being that way, it's like you won't even start. And so you won't even start, you won't even be filled. And I said, what I want you to do is when I pray, I want you to speak in tongues. And I said, don't give me any buts. I just want you to speak in tongues. And as soon as I put my hand on his shoulder, he went, but. And then he laughed, and I laughed. And I said, now you see my point. I want you to speak in tongues. This is for a person now that has really struggled with this thing. And there's a reason for it. He's bound. And I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to... And he didn't disagree with the theology. It was not doubt of the theology. See, he believed the theology. He's coming to community chapel. He's fellowshipping with people that were Spirit-filled, but he himself wasn't. And that bothers a person, you see, because there's just a certain... And the devil can use that to bring division. The devil can use that to really discourage him. And so I said, I want you, by sheer, raw, total faith, like Peter jumped out of the boat on that water. I mean, there's only one way to walk on water, and that's not to stick your toe out there. It's to just step on it. And if it holds you, it holds you. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But if Jesus says come, it's going to hold you. And if the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance, you're going to have it. And I want you to do it. And so, I was pushing him a little bit. He agreed with me. See, he could not argue with us. He was agreeing with me. And he knew this was the truth. And so we tried it again. And something happened, but, you know, mumble, 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 you know, some just little feeble mumble. And I said, here's what you've got to do. You've got to just speak right out. I mean, you're going to have to be bold. You're going to have to speak out. Don't worry about what it sounds like. See, I am not going to laugh. I'm not going to laugh. I promise you, I won't laugh at you. And no, but you're not going to be embarrassed. See, why are you going to be embarrassed? I am not going to laugh at you. You're just going to be embarrassed yourself is the problem. You are going to embarrass yourself. And you need to think about that. Why a person can embarrass themselves. Well, we got somewhere that night. We got somewhere. And I think he got Spirit-filled, but it was so tentative that we just, you know, he just couldn't quite speak it out, although there was a little bit of mumbling that went on. And I said, all right, now what I want you to do is I want you to take this with you, and I want you to keep doing this. I want you to speak in tongues by sheer faith that the Lord is going to fill you, and he's not designed that you be the only one on the planet that doesn't get it. I know he's got it for you. And I know that he wants you to have it, and it's not his will that you pray another 4 years for it. And that doesn't make any sense. Well, and next week he came back to class. I said, well, how was it? He said, that was it. I've got it. That was it. When he got alone, he started pushing himself to speak out in tongues, and he could. He could. Because we just got a little breakthrough that night, but just enough that he would do that again. It would come out. And he said, that was it. He got it. But see, I had to push him. I had to push him. And I had to do that with another person. Now, there are people that they shouldn't be pushed. The person who's praying for it the first night, honestly, I want them to make a dedication. I want them to really seek it. If they don't get it the first night, no problem. Let them get good and hungry. See, let them get good and hungry. But the person who's seeking it and can't get it and is no longer getting hungry but is getting discouraged and ready to give up and quit, now that person, we've got to bring in reinforcements and we've got to really help him. The person that's still seeking and his hunger is building and building and building, I have no problem with him. I'm not even worried about him. I'm going to pray with him and just believe God to fill him and just to let it happen in a natural way. And God will fill him in almost all cases. See, that person, the hunger is increasing, and that hunger needs to increase. See, I'm not going to force the issue. I'm just going to let them seek. I'm not going to hinder them from getting it. But I mean, I'm just going to let them seek God for all they're worth until God just fills them, until they just connect. But the person that's crested at the mountain and is setting down again in discouragement, and a lot of people will get discouraged. I know a person that was going to this church who couldn't get filled, and I prayed with him, and he couldn't get filled, and I prayed with him. And I knew the exact reason why. The guy was bound. And that's the one I told you. Kept laughing in the spirit every time he prayed in tongues. Is that the one I told you about, that one? Well, he got so discouraged, he quit our church. He went and joined a Unity church. You know what Unity church is? Not even Christian. He went and joined the Unity church. Why? Because he couldn't get spirit-filled. That was the point of discouragement. Ended up giving up and quitting. And I talked to him. I said, how's the Unity church? I said, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. I met him somewhere. I said, I haven't seen you in a while. And he goes, well, I'm going to the Unity Church. I didn't jump on him. I knew the guy was discouraged. See, I didn't jump on him. I said, oh, how's the Unity Church? He goes, oh, it's got a lot of love. It's really got a lot of love. I said, oh, well, I didn't say anything. I knew he knew. There's nothing I could tell him he didn't know. I'm not going to jump on him. He said, of course, their doctrine isn't very good. Got a problem with doctrine. Boy, I'll say. they're not even Christian. You know, the Unity Church out here, you know, ecumenical thing where, you know, it's all social. They don't even believe the Bible or anything. Well, a couple months later, he's back at Community Chapel. I said, oh, you're back at the chapel now. He said, that Unity Church. You know, there's nothing to say about it. I knew he was going to come back. Because I knew the only reason he left because he's discouraged. And after a while, he'd get hungrier than he was discouraged, and he'd come back. But he's the one that got filled at Deliverance. And we did pray a couple times, and we got some progress, but too bound to really open up to it. Now, how about praying in tongues with a person? Well, I wouldn't do it at first, at least not the first minute. But after that, I might. It depends. Some people are afraid of tongues, but if they're going to speak in tongues, they shouldn't be too afraid. I think they need to hear you speak in tongues. I really do. I'd speak in tongues. I would pray in English predominantly, though, because I'd be praying, as it were, a prayer guiding them into what they need, into what their heart should be expressing to the Lord, because I know what it is, and I'll be praying it. But after I've prayed that way, and now we receive the Lord, the Holy Spirit, Lord, I just speak in tongues. Sometimes they will, too. I wouldn't speak in tongues in a way to overly distract them, you know, to get really carried away and go into some deep groaning intercession of tongues, you know, where you're just really, you know, just keep things on a, you know, milder level than that. They're not going to understand that. That might hinder them. And I don't think you need a deep intercession for them to get filled. I think they need to relax. Now, believe yourself. Believe yourself. Don't be self-conscious. If you're self-conscious, it'll hinder you. If you're all nervous and self-conscious, that'll hinder you. Now, a lot of people are naturally nervous and self-conscious when praying with someone. you need to overcome that. I know that it's natural for people to be self-conscious. You will be self-conscious praying with them at first. Most people are. Now, some people aren't, but most people are. How do you overcome that? Practice. Keep praying with people. Don't let your fears hold you back. Well, I shouldn't pray with them. I'm all afraid. No, pray with them. Do your best. Pray with them. Believe God. Trust and learn. And learn. You'll get better. The more you witness, the more effective of an evangelist you'll become. The more people you pray with to receive the Holy Spirit, the more effective you'll be. You'll learn through that. See, and you need to learn. I would love to assign you all 10 people to pray through to the Holy Spirit. Oh, that would be such a learning process. You would learn so much praying with people to receive. And they're all different. They're all different. What you did last time won't work this time. Something else will, and you'll find out what it is. The Lord will show it to you. I mean, you'll find your way through, and they'll receive. But recognize that if you're afraid now and self-conscious and a little bit timid, you won't always be. Realize you're not going to always be that way. The day will come when you're going to pray with them real boldly. The day will come. So take hope if you're a little bit shy and praying with people, a little bit nervous. It's important that you pray with them, though, because that experience will eventually get you out of that. It's just like testifying. Some people, oh, I could never testify. I'm too nervous. I know what you're talking about. And after you've testified a few times, that nervousness will diminish. And after you've testified, it keeps going away until you don't feel nervous about testifying. There are people that have demons that are hindering them in these areas, and you need to get rid of those demons of self-consciousness and demons of fear. There are people that have demons of fear. And until you get rid of those, you probably are going to have problems. But even going ahead and doing it right through those fears, some people have fear of witnessing, demons holding them back from witnessing. I believe that the devil loves to give people demons afraid to witness. Don't you think the devil doesn't want us all pioneering the gospel all over the neighborhood? He doesn't want that. He's got us afraid, so we won't witness. As you witness anyway, you'll defeat that thing. You'll overcome that thing. Eventually, you can get rid of the whole demon and you'll get rid of your problem. Now, you need, though, to believe that you won't be this way. You won't be that timid forever. And he'll help you. Now, what if they don't receive? If they don't receive after 5 minutes, suggest that you pray another 5 minutes. That's always a novel suggestion. In other words, if a person doesn't receive it in just a few minutes, it's good to keep praying for a while, at least 10 or 15 minutes. See, at least 10 or 15 minutes. Some people will pray a half hour. Some people will pray an hour. I mean, they just, boom, they'll just pray an hour. Well, that's fine. I'm really willing to pray as long as they are, but I'm going to continue to, you know, to focus in on things so that we can eventually get it, if at all possible. Not just, you know, pray for 8 hours in a row. And they don't have to get it. It's not a crisis if they don't get it the first night. So, you know, if it's 1 o'clock in the morning and they haven't got it yet and you started praying at 12, maybe you should go home and go to bed. Maybe you should go home and get to bed and pray for it again. However, let me say this. Some people, don't be too quick to decide it's time for bed and go. Some people are right on the verge of getting it, and you wouldn't want to quit. Now, how do you know? You don't. You'll have to use your own judgment. You'll have to decide at that time. There are some demons, you know, that are we're just going to have to attack them for a couple hours until we get rid of them. There are others that we can attack, go home and go to bed, attack it next week. No, just keep attacking it. You know, as the weeks go by, it'll go. Others, it's like you'll have to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. If we feel like we've done all we can do and we're just not getting anywhere, then perhaps we should quit. But if we haven't done all we can do, even though it is late, and we're really getting somewhere, even though it is late, but we're making progress, boy, I wouldn't want to quit if we're really making progress. So even if it is late, I wouldn't want to quit if we're really making progress. If, however, we have reached a point and we just seem to go no further than that, well, we've reached our maximum that night. Perhaps we should pick it up another day. You have to decide. I wouldn't want to quit 5 minutes before they were going to get it, and all the glory was going to fall. But on the other hand, I wouldn't want to stay up, you know, till five when, if it's nothing more is going to happen since one. The last 4 hours were meaningless. It would seem. We didn't seem to get any more. You'll have to decide, see. I can't tell you what to do. It just depends on the circumstance. Depends on how hungry the person is. If the person is ready to die, don't quit. He's undoubtedly going to get it, see. Undoubtedly. But some people, they pray for 5 minutes, and, well, they didn't get it. I didn't get it. Well, they need to pray a little longer than that. A little longer than that. That's our last bell. Well, we'll keep going on this. And any questions that you have, I'll be taking as we go here. Go ahead.
What if they're really bound up and you feel like it is fear? Would it be wise to come against the spirit of fear while you're praying for that? And I'm talking about the first night and they just got saved and so forth. Or would it be best to just back up? But if you really feel like
if God gave you revelation that it was a spirit, it would probably be the Lord telling you that that spirit needs to go. But if you just know it's fear, because it's real common, if you start moving in deliverance, you could complicate the matters. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying it could complicate the situation. Pretty soon they don't know what, you know, you're doing, and you know. To get into deliverance could complicate matters. What I would say is, I would just stop and talk to them. Or I would pray a certain way. I would say, you know, I think God wants to fill you, but I think you're holding back because you're afraid. Is that true? Or maybe you don't even want to ask him. I think you're holding back because you're afraid. Now, in order to get the Holy Spirit, you're just going to have to launch out. You're just going to have to believe and trust and don't be afraid. See, if you think that's, and that could be enough just to push them. If they can recognize, oh yeah, I am holding back, well then they'll put more into it, and they'll open up more. And if you're stuck on it, and you know the person's bound, and they know they're afraid, and they're just totally stuck, and they can't go beyond, it wouldn't probably hurt to go into that, but it might not hurt to seek it again another night. Hunger's got to build. Hunger will push people through fears. That's what needs to be done. If you rebuke a spirit of fear, nothing may really happen. So
individual.
Yes.